Thank you for joining us for the Tucson Baptist Church Podcast with Pastor Brent Armstrong. This podcast features the messages from the teaching and preaching ministry at our church. Tucson Baptist Church is located in Tucson, Arizona, and we are committed to loving God, growing together, and reaching our community. If you would like to learn more about our ministry, please visit TucsonBaptist.com. We pray that today's message is an encouragement to you.
Let's take our Bibles this morning, go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now we have a memory verse we're working on in Proverbs chapter 12, but you've already memorized that, so we can do that, right? We'll get that verse, Proverbs 12, verse 25, up on the screen in just a moment, and we'll be able to say that together here. For some of you, it's been a while. I see some folks that you haven't been in church once this year, 2021. What a dynamic attendance we have. This is so encouraging. I just pray you are an answer to prayer. Lord, it really would help me and my personal spirit if this Sunday we could see people come back to church. And I'm so thankful to see you in church. And if you're watching by live stream, I'm so sorry you are not here. It looks like we're having church again. And it is thrilling to see so many people here. And we have a great handout. This is our third message, part three of our message. And so, ushers, if you'll help me make your way to the front, thank you so much for always being willing to serve. I want to make sure you have a copy of this morning's outline. Now, it's the same one we've been working on for 3 weeks, but perhaps you missed one of the weeks and do not have it filled out. Just raise your hand. Let's make sure everyone has one. That way you can follow along this morning. Why in the world am I holding a box? It's been a while since I've been in church. What is the pastor doing holding a box? We have begun a new series of messages with this year, Outside the Box, Living Outside the Box. What happens when your box is smashed? Several weeks ago when we introduced this message, this was a perfectly good box. And through giving a series of examples, we looked at how 2020 and 2021 has smashed our box. The things that we used to do, we're not able to do anymore. Or the way we used to live life has been altered dramatically. Has anyone gone out to eat recently? The way we go out to eat isn't even the same anymore. The way we stand. It's not natural to stand 6 feet apart. But everyone tells us we have to stand 6 feet apart. It's not natural to shake hands in church anymore. And we can't give hugs in church anymore. And we can't give high fives in church anymore. And we can't love each other anymore. Because that's what they said we need to do. And so we've tried. And as I look this morning, thank you for following guidelines of just sitting every other row so that we can make an attempt to make sure everyone is safe and healthy. And we're trying to alter how we do things to be safe. Thank you for accommodating that. We've had to adjust our attitudes. We have had our boxes literally squashed. But in the process of that, it's not just the way we go about our daily life and we have to wear a mask to go into this business or you have to have an appointment to go in and see your bank person or your doctor's now wanting to do everything through a live call rather than actually coming to the office. I mean, things are so different. Please understand this, things are different in the home too. The stresses and strains of online education. The stresses and strains, and I don't mean to be humorous, but the stresses and strains of husband and wife spending so much time together has put undue pressure on marriages. And the fact that dad and mom have to have their home offices and their children are still running around and life isn't the same as it once was February 15th of 2020. Our lives have changed. Well, it was all supposed to get better January 1st. It's a new year. Only we discovered that January became the 13th month of 2020, and now we're in the 14th month of 2020. And it hasn't changed. Our lives have been forever altered, it seems. Spiritually speaking, there's been an assault on the church. Now you say, well, our church? Well, yes. Look around. We don't pass an offering plate anymore. We don't have a fellowship time. By the way, that didn't mean we stopped taking offerings. Church members, if you're visiting with us, thank you. But this isn't for you. But church members, there are still 3 or 4 beautiful brown boxes scattered around our campus that said that we will take your offering right here. And that's very important because January was deplorable in our giving. When you close the church for 2 weeks and we don't meet in person, it definitely impacted our offerings. And so we'll make it somehow, but January was really tough. Church family, let's be faithful in giving back to the Lord, but our church has been impacted. No fellowship time. Offering time is different. Observing the Lord's Supper is different. We have a mask-only service. So for those who wish to attend church but wish to wear a mask, and we're trying to be as accommodating as we can. Do you know that we haven't had a church-wide dinner in a year? We used to have fellowship all the time. And we would have the gym and the Family Life Center and SALT would meet and growth group classes would meet. And so everything has been altered. Our box has been smashed. It doesn't even look. And so how do we live outside that box? And so we've been attempting over the last few weeks to discuss how we could live outside that box. And our theme verse is Proverbs 12 and verse 25. And we're challenging our whole church to memorize this, that this really describes 2020. So let's say it together. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. I hope that we can memorize this over a time that you will know it. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's 2 lines. We can memorize this. So let's say it together. Here we go. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. I'm going to ask you to memorize that so that one, we do not have to have the help in the weeks coming. We can stand and we can say it confidently. Here is what this verse says. Because our box has been flattened, man, our body posture is stooping. It's affected us physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, and all of those different aspects. It's affected us physically. We're just stooped over. There's health needs. And then he says this, but a good word maketh it glad. We need to hear the good word of the Bible. We need to have some encouragement to each other. And we cannot allow that to fall by the wayside. And we need encouragement. We need to understand that God has allowed for this season the devil to have this time. And I don't understand. I just know that we are getting closer to the end times. But as your pastor, as I study the Word of God, trying not to make this fit into some particular scripture, but here's what I know, that the Bible says that God has allowed the devil to be what is called the prince and power of the air. In other words, he's allowed the devil to bring some hardship into our lives. He's permitted that. So this is, by God's permission, what's happening. That's discomforting to me, because the devil is smarter, craftier than anyone in this room. But I'm thankful for this. If I'm on the Lord's side, he's smarter than the devil. And if I'm on the Lord's side, I know he's on my side, then I know that if I'm praying and I'm trusting, that nothing's going to happen in my life apart from the perfect will of God. That means my family, and also means our church. So how do I navigate this time period called living outside the box? This is our third week on this particular message. And then what happens beginning next week is we're going to do character studies of people in the Bible, men and women, whose life was squashed, whose life was altered, and they had to live outside the box. I'll give you a little hint about next week. We're going to look at Elijah. Elijah had his box smashed, and Elijah had some interesting things happen And I'm going to share those things with you next week. And how Elijah, I ask the Lord to help me make the Bible stories come alive as we begin these character studies. Today, we're going to finish our third message. The first thing we looked at is that many times we hit a barrier. And those barriers that we hit, unclear values and unsustained energies and our expectations being squashed. And what happens with those barriers is that we don't know how to adjust. We don't know how to break through those barriers. And we looked at point number one is that we must line up our priorities. And as we line up our priorities, we understand that we must get back to the Word of God. Have you read the Word of God this past week? No? No one nodded in affirmative or said, have you read the Word of God this past week? I trust that you have. We cannot navigate this life apart from the Word of God in our prayer life. We looked at last week and we need to lighten up our attitude. Listen. God wired us to be able to laugh. God wired us, and we understand that laughter and being able to fellowship one with another and be able to be a little bit lighthearted is like a medicine. It restores. Instead of that heaviness making us stoop, laughter helps us release those endorphins that help us be able to be healthier. Have you laughed any this week? In spite of struggles and trials, can you smile? Can you laugh? Can you find something to lighten up your attitude? The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. So let's get into this week's message, and we're on our third antidote, how we can break through that barrier. Not only do we need to line up our priorities, not only do we need to lighten up our attitudes, but this morning we're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says this in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Father in heaven, as we go into this message this morning, I'm asking for great liberty. I'm asking that distractions and concerns and just things that beset each one of us, that we may be able to set them aside. There is no doubt that people have plans this afternoon. But Father, can we, with the help of your Holy Spirit, stand here this morning and as we preach this word, be able to be a help to those who are hurting, to be an encouragement to those who are doing well and just to keep on. And Father, for those who are carrying those extra special burdens of loss, concern, may this message be a help unto them. In Jesus' name, amen. We need some antidotes to help with those unclear values and those unrealistic expectations and that unsustained energy. This third message in this series of foundational messages is the most important. Because apart from this, we don't even need to go look at the character studies if we're not willing to do this. I want to challenge you this morning with antidote number three, and that's to look up to God, to look to God, to look to God. There are so many times that we absolutely do not look to God. We look everywhere else. We look in our bank account. We look at our employer. We look at our family. We look at our hobbies. We look at the things that we enjoy, like food or things like that. We look into alcohol or drugs or pornography. We look in sordid things to try to fill something that's missing in our life. My dear friend, whether you're watching by live stream, you're visiting here this morning, you're a faithful member, I'm saying it's time in 2021 that we make it a priority to look to God. He's got to be the one who receives our attention. The only way we're going to get done the important things in life, the only way we're going to have a satisfying life, is that we ask Jesus Christ for help. Listen to what Proverbs 10 and verse 27 says. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, in this verse, I want to help you understand something. Oftentimes, we hear the word fear, and when we hear that word fear in our Bibles, we often think of this, something I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of snakes or spiders. I'm afraid of darkness. And we often associate word fear with something like that. If you're okay to mark in your Bibles or in your notes, when you look at that word fear, may I just ask you to circle it and put the word respect. This would be a better understanding of this verse. So if we were to say, for us, the respect of the Lord, for us to have respect, reverence of the Lord, it prolongeth our days. It makes our life better, more fulfilling, longer, rather than that word fear. Now, fear means respect or reverence. It means to take God seriously. It means to put God first. How many of you would like to have more hours in your day? Would you raise your hand if you'd like to have, life is so busy, if I just had a few more hours. Some of you say, how about having less hours in a day? All of us, I think, would love to have a few more hours if we could. There's just simply not enough time to do everything in a day. Here's an answer for you. Reverence for God adds hours each day. Respect for God adds hours each day. I will explain it to you. The reason why we do not lighten up our attitude, the reason we don't look up to God or look to God for answers is that we take ourselves too seriously and we do not take God seriously enough. Friends, church members, my brothers and sisters, people I absolutely love in this very room this morning, there are some of us that do not look to God until there's an emergency, until there's a crisis. I'm saying that we have to live day by day at God with respect and reverence. The root behind many of our problems is that we fail to look to God as the one to live our lives by. You take yourselves far too seriously and you do not take God seriously enough. We have a general lukewarmness. We do not reverence him, and that means that we do not put him first, that we do not take him seriously. You think that the solution is more time. If I just had a few more hours each day, then I would get it all done. And here's our attitude. If I just had a few more hours a day, listen, I promise I would read the Word of God. If I just had one more hour a day, I would pray. I promise you, Pastor, if I just had a little bit more time on my schedule, I would pray, I would read the Bible, I might even come to church more if I just had a few more hours in the day. God says, no, you don't need more time in your day. He says this, you need more time with me. And the problem why you're all stressed out and you can't get everything done is that you never spend any time with me. And I say this morning that respect for God will add hours to your day. There's a secret. Please get that this morning. This is a secret. If you will read your Bible and pray each day, I promise you, you'll get more done each day. You say, that doesn't make sense. That's taking time away from things I need to do. I'm absolutely going to guarantee you that if you will spend more time with God each day, you'll get more done each day. Many things compete for our attention, and many things are out there to drain our energy, and many things call for our creativity, and they take every ounce of effort in life. And many times you come home from work, and you're wasted, and you're beat, and you're tired, and you're out of steam, and you do not have time for the things that are important, and you don't spend time with your children, and you don't have any strength to spend time with your spouse, and you have no strength and time to read the Bible, and where do you get that kind of strength when you're worn out? You don't understand it. My box is crushed. I don't have time for God like I did prior to February 15th of 2020. May I say, spending time with God is the great secret strength in your life. And there are some of us that we're trying to do it on our own, and we are out of energy. We're wasted. We're empty, we're tired, we're drained, we're worn out. I often wonder how single parents do it. But you know that I've met some single moms that seem to have it more together than this perfect, beautiful, idyllic family of mother, father, son, and daughter. The perfect family of four. And I've seen some single moms. And as I've talked to some single moms, I say, how do you juggle all of it? And you know what mom says? They're seated right here. I set my alarm, I get up early, and the very first thing I do is have my devotions and prayer time. Wait, you got to get your kids ready. You got to feed them breakfast. You got to get ready for work yourself. And you have time to do that? And I've had two ladies, one of them seated right here this morning, says, it's amazing how much I can do after I've had my devotion time with the Lord. The secret sauce is spending time with the Lord. And some of us, it's the last thing we do to try to fit in the day. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to the Lord when I get in bed. And the head hits the pillow. Dear Jesus, thank you so much. And you're gone. The secret sauce is starting your day with the Lord and spending time with Him. And you ask God for strength to do the things that really matter when the world is telling you about all the things that don't matter. That's the secret of strength. And when we study the life of Jesus, let's use Him as our role model. You find that no matter how busy He was, do you know that we only know a fraction of the miracles He committed? The Bible says that. We don't even know the all of what Jesus did. Thousands upon thousands of people wanted to be healed and touched and talk to this Jesus, this great miracle worker, the one that could turn water into wine, the one that could take just a few loaves of bread and two fish and feed thousands, and the one who could make a leper whole again, the one who could make the lame man walk, the one who could cast out devils. That person was seen by thousands of people. He was a human. He was tired. Do you know what? He's still not to model it, not to somehow show us an example. He needed to spend time talking to His Heavenly Father. And the Bible tells us throughout the Gospels that He would get alone to pray and commune with His Heavenly Father as an earthly man. And Jesus never said this, I just don't have time to pray. And yet He was busier than any one of us in this room this morning. And never once did He say, man, I just don't have time to pray. I'd like to share something with you that has been very convicting to me. A lot of times, I'd like to use the word busy. I'm so busy. So in 2020, one of my goals is to eliminate that from my vocabulary. We're all busy. And I'm not busier than someone else, although I used to say, well, I'm so busy, I do this, I have to do this, and I have to schedule things, and I just was always in this hamster wheel of busyness. So one of my goals in 2020 was to eliminate that from my vocabulary. And then February 15th happened, and life changed as far as our church. So it really was a different box being squashed in my life. Here's what I've discovered since February 15th, and it's meant so much to me, and I'll share this with you. Here's the thing. I have just enough time to do God's will. I have just enough time to do God's will. That means I have to know what God's will is. I have to discover what God's will, and I have to do it. And I have just enough time to do that. I'm not somehow some human being that needs more time to be able to accomplish God's will. The secret sauce as I begin my day with Him. And then I'm able to navigate the day, and I have just enough time to do His will. God put you on this earth to do a certain number of things. There's not a single person listening to my voice this morning that God doesn't have a purpose for your life. If He didn't have a purpose for your life, there's no reason for you to stay here. You might as well go ahead and die. I don't mean that harshly. But if you have no purpose in life, go ahead and go on to heaven. But because you're here, God has a purpose for your life. And God would not give you more things to do than he gives you the time to do it. And God would not expect more of you and then not give you the time and the energy to sustain you. And if you're going to get, if you're not getting the important things done in your life, I really think it means one of two things if you're not getting the important things done. Number one, you are doing some things in your life that you should not be doing. You say, I'm too busy to read his word. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to tell others about Jesus. If you're too busy to do those four essential things that all of us are required to do, there's some things in your life that you should not be doing. And you are doing some things that God never intended you to do. Secondly, you are doing the right things. You're just doing them perhaps the wrong way. You say, well, I do pray and I do read the word of God. Well, perhaps you're doing some right things the wrong way. You're not being efficient or effective. You're not managing your time wisely. Maybe you need to sharpen these skills. God promises this promise in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. That was our text verse. Would you look back at that again? He says this, trust, I love that word, trust in the Lord when you have time. Trust in the Lord when it works in your schedule. Trust in the Lord at the end of your day when you're tired, worn out, and you have no time. That's not what he says. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on to your own understanding. In other words, if you're going to try to do this in your own power, you're going to try to do this in your own wisdom, you will ultimately fail. And the Bible says he shall direct your path. He's going to show you what's important. It's the same thing with your time. God says, if you put me first with your time, I'll make the rest of your time stretch and go further than you even thought possible. And you say, I don't have time for a daily quiet time. I don't have time for a growth group. I don't have time to study the Bible. Listen to what God says. Okay, you're on your own when it comes to your time. See if you can make it stretch, but you're on your own. On the other hand, if you were to say this morning, God, because you're my God, because you're the most important thing in my life, and knowing you is so important, I'm going to give you first place in my time. By the way, here's the thing. If you give God and you look up to God and you give him first place, this next relationship with your spouse, it's going to be a whole lot better. The next relationship with your children is going to be a whole lot better. The next relationship in your work, in your church, is going to be a whole lot better. God not only promises to bless you when we give back to him, but he also promises to bless you when you give back to others. He says this in Proverbs 22 in verse number 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor, or a generous man will be blessed himself. God takes care of you. God blesses you back. And the same is true with time. The more you give your time away to help other people and to invest in other people, God's going to make sure that your needs are met. It's a wonderful formula. Are you willing to try it? I promise it'll change your life. My question is this. Whom do you need to give back before it's too late? Whom do you need to make time for in your schedule before it's too late? Life is short and you're not guaranteed tomorrow, much less next week. You're not guaranteed that the people in your life are going to be with you tomorrow or even next week. Many of you were unable to come to Mr. John Utley's funeral service. John was a personal friend. I love John. He and Pastor Howard were like twin towers, and I look up to them, and they would go visiting, and they would get into John's little itty-bitty car. I don't know why John liked little cars, but he would, I think he would try to find the smallest car that he could fold himself to get into. Oh, John could have some opinions. But you know what I discovered about John? He loved the Lord. He was faithful here at Tucson Baptist Church. He served as a deacon. He served as the head. He served as an usher, the assistant usher, the head usher. He gave here at our church. I shared a need about Myanmar and how that we are the main supporter for an orphanage of 104 children. And may I just say, take a rabbit trail for a moment. We need to pray for Myanmar. I've spoken repeatedly with the three ministries we support there in Myanmar, and the children's orphanage is in grave danger, and there's a lot of concerns what's going on. Just yesterday, all of the rest of the world was shut off to Myanmar, and they cannot make any telephone calls. Internet's cut off, and those people are now living in like a North Korea where they cannot see what's going on in the rest of the world. Pray for Myanmar. We, Tucson Baptist Church, have a vested interest in Myanmar. I shared about Myanmar and the children's orphanage, and John and Adrian Utley gave a generous check to help meet that need. He loved missions. He loved visitation. He loved serving here at our church. He lived the life. Both Pastor Howard and I received separate phone calls from the hospital on John's cell phone. And John told both of us, he said, I don't think I'm going to get out of this one. He sounded strong. He sounded healthy. He didn't even sound sick. He went into the hospital because he had a broken bone in his back where he had fallen. You're not going to die, John. I said, you're strong. We're going to pray. God's going to raise you up. I was the optimist, and I prayed with John and prayed the Lord would help him to get out of the hospital. I miss John. My box got run over. There's no reason for John to die. He has grandchildren and great-grandchildren in our own church. His lovely wife is a member of our church. He was active in our church. John didn't need to die. God, what are you doing? Literally, I use this box as illustration. I don't understand why John died. How does that family live now? Unexpected. May I just tell you, life is short. You don't know when you're going to die. I tell you, when John went in the hospital, he went in because he had pain in his back and never left the hospital. Our life is short. But you know what I talk about, John? I want you to listen to this. John didn't have regrets. He lived the life. He had a strong testimony. It wasn't a matter of, oh man, I wish I'd have written that check to Myanmar. I should have gotten around to it. I should have given. I wish I'd have went on more visitation with Pastor and Pastor Howard. I wish I would have been a little bit more involved in our church. You know what, John? John passed away having served his Heavenly Father well. Life is short. Whatever's important in life and whatever is right thing to do, whatever you're intending to do because you know that it's a good thing to do, may I just say three words, do it now. Do it now. There are some of us who are living our life right now and we're wasting our life. Church family, a pandemic is not an excuse to waste your life. A pandemic is not an excuse not to serve God. A pandemic is not an excuse not to give your all to your Heavenly Father. Would you just listen to me? We need you now more than ever. Please be faithful. Do not wait until your parents have died. Do not wait until your children have grown up. Do not wait until your spouse's heart has grown cold. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Whatever it is, do it now. May I just say, make that phone call of encouragement today. Write that letter today. Be kind today. Show that expression of love now. Your heart was challenged to give, to help a missionary, to help a ministry. And you say, I'll get to it later. May I just say, do it now. Now, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Every day you're exchanging your life for something. Every day. Now listen, exercise is important. If we don't take care of our bodies, we're not effective for the Lord. Sometimes hobbies are important because maybe it's a distraction from life. So, may I just say, having a job is important. It helps pay the bills. But none of those things are more important than my relationship with Christ. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Every time you invest your time for something, you're exchanging your life. Your time is your life. And some people are exchanging their life for television. And some people are exchanging their life for talk radio. And some people are exchanging their life for some silly little ball. And some people are exchanging their life for fame that's not going to last 5 years from now. On and on, I could give illustration after illustration. What are you doing like a John Utley that we can talk about him after he's already in heaven and we can say he lived his life well? Was he perfect? None of us are. But may I just say, he was faithful. Could we say that of you? Every time you have an activity, you ought to ask yourself, is this worth giving my life to it? Because that's exactly what you're doing when you give up your time. Is this worth my life? If you want to find time for the most important things in life, you need to do right now. You need to give the best. You need to understand that what I'm giving my time for, it is a testimony for all to see. The tragedy is this. Some people go through life and they miss the most important thing, look to God. What's the most important thing in your life this morning? What is it? Some people have missed the most important thing. They don't even know God. And you miss this and you miss the whole point of life. And I want us to review the basics again. You were made for a relationship with God. Think of it this way. You were made by God. You were made for God. You are made to have a relationship with God, to know Him, to love Him. That is exactly why you are alive this morning. He does not want your religion. He wants your relationship. God created you in His image so that you would have the capacity to get to know Him and to talk to Him. May I just say, cows cannot do that. Your beautiful dog cannot do that. Your stinky cat cannot do that. You may have just gotten chickens. They cannot talk to God. May I just say, you're the only people that can talk to God. And we need to look to Him. Only human beings are made in God's image with the capacity to pray and to hear God speak and to comprehend Him. Jesus Christ was sent to this earth to be a bridge so that you could get to know God here on this earth. And then one day we would know more about Him when we die and we go to heaven if we right now trust in Him. How do you relate yourself in the most important thing in life? Do you know God? Are you looking to Him? Now, before you take any more notes, I'd like for all of you to look up here for just a moment. I know it's easy to get distracted, but may I just be blunt this morning? Sometimes I have a problem with that. One day, everyone right here is going to stand before God. That scares me half to death. It scares me. One day, Brent Armstrong is going to stand before God. And I'm also going to stand before Jesus Christ, who gave His life for Brent Armstrong. And then the Bible says, I'm going to give an account. Everyone's looking up here. I do not anticipate the question will be, Brent, how much money did you have in your bank account when you died? I do not anticipate the question will be, Brent, how much was in your 401k? When you died. I do not anticipate the question will be, Brent, have you paid off your house in Tucson before you died? I do not anticipate the question will be, Brent, how many suits did you have in your closet when you died? I don't even think they're going to ask how many ties or shirts I had. Now, I do enjoy cycling, but I don't think that Jesus is even going to say, Brent, how many miles did you ride on your bicycle? I do think He's going to say, what did you do with me? Did you tell anyone else? Were you ashamed of my name? He's not going to ask how many friends I was popular with. He's not going to ask how far I went up in the company. He's not going to ask, did you get the gold watch for 10 years of service? Or did you get the diamond encrusted watch for 20 years of service? God's going to say, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? He's going to say, did you understand that he literally died for you, Brent Armstrong? Not the rest of the world. He died for you. What did you do with that knowledge? What did you do with your life? What did you do with Jesus? Will you be able to say, first and foremost, God in heaven, I accepted him into my life? Will you be able to say that, yes, God, I wasn't perfect, but I made time to read your word because it was food for my soul. I know that I needed to do that, and so I did do that. Or will you have to put your head down and say, I never had time to pray, to read. In fact, God in heaven, I can't even recall telling someone else about your son, Jesus. Hey, but I sure am thankful I got my life insurance policy. I sure am thankful I'm in heaven. May I just tell you, there'll be no cavalier attitudes in heaven. None. None. God's going to say, you think I put you on earth for appointments? You think I put you on earth to make deals? You think I put you on earth to play bridge? You think I put you on earth to watch Wheel of Fortune? You think I put you on earth to go to church whenever you feel like it? You think I put you on earth to be ashamed of my son? May I just say this morning, most people have missed the most important thing in life. Not some. People have missed the most important thing in life, and that is this. They do not know God. Even Christians do not really know God because they're not spending time in his word. They're not reading it. They're not listening to him. They're not worshiping him. And it boils down to this. What are you living for this morning? Who are you living for this morning? Tell me the answer to that question, and I can tell you instantly about the stress level in your life. Listen, I grew up in a time frame, and I know that we have to take notes and fill in our blanks, but as I conclude this message, may I just share a personal testimony? I grew up in church. After mom and dad were saved and I was a boy, I grew up in church, but I grew up in a church that focused if men had beards, and focused on the way women dressed, and focused on the way of rules. And I grew up in that, and it messed up my life. And I'm so thankful we don't do that here in our church. May I just say, I want to focus on this. How is your relationship with Christ? And if you do not have a relationship with Christ, you're not doing the most important thing. Oh, we need to line up our priorities. And yes, it would help us a lot if we would lighten up our attitude. But the most important thing is I've got to look to God. And there's people here this morning, not a few, many, who are looking everywhere else but God. May I share a prayer that we should pray each day? And it comes from Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We ought to pray that. God, I know I don't know how many days I have, but help me number them. And let me apply my heart to wisdom. It's not finding time for what's important. It's a matter of making time. And you're never going to find the time. The devil's going to make sure that you're too busy. The devil's going to make sure that there's too many distractions. And you've got to make time for what is important. I've got to get into his word. I've got to pray. I've got to give. I've got to tell. What are you living for? Every morning we should get up and we say, God, help me today to line up my priorities. Help me today to lighten up my attitude and to realize that my attitude affects other people, and help me not to be a discouragement to other people. And God, help me to look to you and be focused on you throughout the day. Yes, I have to work. Yes, I've got to be a good dad and a good mom. Yes, I've got to be a good husband and a good wife. And yes, there's responsibilities that you've given me, but help me to look to you for the strength to do those responsibilities. And it all starts with the decision. Am I willing to live outside the box? Am I willing to live how God has intended me? And that is to look to Him for strength and energy and focus and purpose. I ask you this morning, where are you looking?